It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence. Of me, Ernest Hancock from the BEA Beautiful Studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com. You know, you can declare your independence, and you don't got to do it with me, and you don't even need a government form. See how easy that is? I declare my independence. Done. That's how simple it is. Man, we need to do it, too. Today, we're going to go over a bunch of stuff. Just mail that I got that was addressed to my kids. You know, I got Bill Clinton from Democratic Party, Democrat headquarters. You know, Rush, immediate response requested to Corsair, my son. That lived there in over a year, and he's getting Bill Clinton send him stuff. What do you have to say? What's he all worried about? Oh, we'll get to it. Then we have one to my daughter, my oldest daughter, Rhea. She hadn't lived there for, 3 years. And I got it from the National Associations of Secretaries of State, Washington, D.C. And it's a Valpak mailer. I mean, it's got some little voting thing in here we'll go over, but the rest of it's just advertisements. And I go, oh, pretty slick. I'm going to be sending out official stuff to me. So this is, and then Talker Magazine, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, and then the stock market took a dump. Did you buy silver? What did I tell you? Get out of the stock market, buy silver. Okay? That bottom line. What did I do today? I went down to the someplace. I ain't going to tell you. I went down to someplace, and I happened to have an ounce of something, and I traded that ounce of something in for a whole bunch of ounces of something else, you know? And I said, I win because I know what's going to happen. This silver thing's going to get stupid, and it may be a year, two, whenever, but every time it goes down like this, I say, thank you. It could go half what it is now. We're going to be thinking, gee, I remember when silver used to be in the double digits. You know, you remember that? You remember back when? Oh, man, get ready. Got chickens. And we had on the front page today on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, they're talking about the people that are just being able to survive what's coming. You know, it's we got the this morning Jet doing the morning show on Revolution Continues. He was talking about the Bilderberg meeting that's coming up. And then, you know, right after that's going to be a G20, and then it's going to be, and they're planning their lives for us. I wonder if they're talking about the Gulf spill, maybe, you know, starting the pictures are starting to come out. And by the time it gets there, it's been, you know, machine washed and separated and distilled down to gloop, you know, and here comes the gloop. You get some gloop on a bird, man, that makes a good picture. Bad picture, whatever, but I'm telling you, it's getting already going around the Horn of Florida into the Atlantic, going to hit the Gulf Stream. They're going to be nice little, you know, oil globules on the East Coast. They're going to hit Europe, man. That's going to make, it's going to be news for months, years. What's the headline here? It says, got chickens making ends meet in the Great Depression. In the winter, they're talking about in the Depression, they go, in the winter, the chickens would come up under the house and sit in the basement. So if we wanted the chicken, we'd raise a plank up and reach down and get the chicken. Dinner. That's a good idea. You just make kind of a little warm area, you know, there, and be like a chicken trap door. And that's like, you know, oh, I don't know. Every time we go in here, we come out one less. So this is, this is the kind of stuff you're going to need to be thinking about. And who's going to be on the front lines? Where's the front line? I mean, we got tomorrow. We have, let me tell you what's coming on. We got Lee Wright. He was on the LNC for a long time, libertarian national woo-hoo guy. You know, he's well known as a radical activist. We have him on today. We got Barry Hess, a candidate for governor, Arizona. He's in studio today. We got, Pal Gamma's going to call in, talk about Falcon 9. We're going to go ahead and do the 3 hours today. We weren't going to start 3 hours at, board, cancel my third hour, the rerun. We may do it Monday or something. Whatever, guys. I know you guys missed it. It was the second half of Karen Kwiatkowski. We did the first yesterday. I was going to finish it up today. Too much stuff. All right. I'm going to need 3 hours. Dang it, man. You guess how you get? You suck me in. So what we're going to do is Pal Gamble is going to call in at the bottom of the hour sometime or something. Falcon 9 took off today. Private spacecraft in orbit. Went off today. We're going to do that. And count that. And we're 10, 9, 8. We're going to space and government's not invited. Of course, they're trying to invite themselves on SpaceX because Falcon 9, they're going, can we get some resupplies to the International Space Station? Just wondering, you know, kind of, that's what's going on. These guys already got, you know, because they do it so much cheaper than the shuttle. And all, I mean, oh, we're going to the moon. That's what Falcon 9 was about. Falcon, you know, was a single stage. We've been covering that for a long time. We did live coverage when it went off in the Marianas a year or two ago. And we have, and of course, there was a failed one, too. Boom. And then bad nuts. What happened was, they needed to have something that could go to the moon. We're going to the moon. Haven't heard about it, have you? Big news today, was it? You know, I don't know. I don't watch them anyway. They never have anything I want. Heck, I'm better off watching, you know, YouTube or the webcast of this thing doing live. Boom. Going to space. Never heard a word of it. Two private space stations in orbit right now, Genesis 1, Genesis 2. They're like 15,000 orbits. You hear about every freaking shuttle delay due to, you know, the urinal processing water plant thing isn't working or something. You hear about that, but you don't hear about private space stations. Why? Why? And why do you put up with it when you find it? Rocket Racing League coming online this year. Oh, they're building a space port in New Mexico right now. Only problem I got with that is that the state of New Mexico subsidized some of it. They're building a spaceport right, not later. They have Spaceship 2 tourism is going to be looking at the Northern Lights from space. They've already sold out for umpteen million flights. Guess who's in the first one? First one, who's in the first one? Guess, take a guess. Captain Kirk, William Shatner. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I pay extra to be on that one. You get it? You've been hearing a lot about it, have you? Why? Because he don't want you to know. Man, you're not allowed to leave. What happens when we get off this rock? What happens when we can do, you know, better somewhere else? What happens when we can actually have manufacturing without jurisdiction? What happens? You know, what are you going to serve the warrant? You know, who are you going to serve it on? Let's say I got, you know, servers accumulating of all kinds of information accessible from two satellites and a moon base. Then what? Now they're gonna shoot you with a laser. They may try. Don't put anything past them. The future is coming, and it has less and less. They are the source of the problem. Where are you in this fight tomorrow? This is what's going on tomorrow. They have, it's called Phoenix Rising. PhoenixRising.com, I think. They call it PhoenixRally.com. You go there. It's Tancredo. It's Sheriff Arpaio. It's Russell Pierce. It's, you know, it's the crew. They're sitting there going, yay, we great. SB 1070, papers, please. Okay? Stage two, because they're successful doing that, getting a lot of bills around them, and they're not wasting any time. We got Bilderberg going on, G20 going on. What is it they all want? Obamacare. You know, they're going to be doing all this is you think you're dealing with different entities. It's all part of the same thing. What are they doing? They're advocating right now that when they accumulate this database that they're doing, they got this database, you know, all concealed carry permit request, all hunting license, fishing license, Department of Motor Vehicles, all that goes into a database, goes federal. You go and you have a baby. You cannot get a birth certificate for that baby until it's determined whether the parents are U.S. citizens or not. Used to be, you're born here, I made you a citizen. Oh, heck no. Because then they wanted to be able to what? They want to strip you of your citizenship so you don't have human rights or constitutional rights or something somehow. Enemy combatant, sound familiar? I knew what was coming. They go, if the government gets to determine whether you get to have human rights guaranteed by the Constitution or not, you know, it just, you don't like get them from the Constitution. It just recognized it. You know, it's like, look, you know, we're here to defend individual rights. You know, human beings, you know, you want to know if you got rights or not? Fog this mirror. Oh, fog the mirror. You got rights. Okay. No Miranda, no trial, no go Guantanamo, rendition, whatever. Oh, U.S. citizens. Yeah, we can assassinate U.S. citizens now. Remember that? Obama, yep. You know, it's just continuation of Bush. So what do they do? They go, we can strip you of your citizenship, thereby stripping you of your constitutional protection, as if it was a constitution that gave you your human rights to begin with. So then they go, all right. So now they're going to say, yeah, and if you're even born here, you don't get it if you're born of illegal alien. But what does that mean? How do you check that? They have to check you against a list. Everybody gets checked. What's next? Obamacare's like China. Prenatal care. You went to the doctor. Your baby's going to get a government national ID number before they're born. Wake up! And you're begging for it. You're begging for it. I'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, lunatic fringe. I know you're out there and you're in here too. You know, we got the lunatic fringe going on. Let me introduce you to my good friend Lee Wright. Lee, I got you there?
Ernie's still the best lead in music and radio, man.
Rocking and rolling and whatnot. You know, one thing you gotta, we're talking to you because why? I mean, I want the Lee Wright's thing, man. You got the microphone, you got the audience here, man. Give us what for.
Freedom's the answer, man.
You know, this is, well, tell me, we were at both at the National Convention.
Oh, well, that was fun.
And we had a good time. I mean, we got accomplished, you know, a lot of what we wanted to accomplish. You know, we keep bad guys out, you know, replaced some real bad guys with some not so bad guys. And we got some good guys in and, you know, and it's kind of a holding action for the LP. But I tell you, you know, there's so much stuff going on so fast. Right now, it's not going to be able to wait for, 3 months later committee meeting kind of crap. So tell me, you know, the LP, what's the plan, man? I know you got the inside scoop. What's going on? Let's do it.
I don't know about the inside scoop, but I know what we need to do. We need to start, exploring these outreach opportunities. Like tomorrow, y'all having a little afternoon tea or something, ain't you?
Now, we're not exploring. We just go.
Right.
You know, there's no more exploring, man. You know, this has been, let me tell you what's going on.
They're coming and looking for us. We don't have to explore. It's all around us. And this thing's exploding, man.
And it keeps getting passed off. You know, they'll come to the Libertarian. I remember as when I was county chair, by the time they got to me, they were already deep into something. You know, the government had, taken, done, arrested, beat up, whatever. By the time they come to me, you know, it's the best I can do is just demonstrate what was done rather than really help. Well, now with the internet, you know, they, as publisher Freems Phoenix and talk show hosts and all that, they come to me early on. You know, while it's just beginning. So I get it, and I see what's happening. I know where this goes. I know. So what do? Boom, we do a meetup. We'll be up here tonight. They'll start be making signs. We have the Arizona Breakfast Club where we're meeting tomorrow.
This is the key right here. People got to stop waiting on national. You don't need permission to do anything. Man, there's a ton. Did you see that convention? That convention was off-year, huge numbers, and full of people that do something. Activists, real people that go out and do things.
And if it wasn't for them, the people that didn't do anything, that were infiltrating, that were trying to take over, would have succeeded.
Right.
And this time they were like, oh, man, the activists decided to show up. What just happened? And but the thing is that, you know, now what? Okay, now, now what?
Like you're doing.
Well, if I don't got to wait on them, then what good are they? If I don't have to wait on them, then what good are they? Why am I even wasting my time dealing with them? What the hell good is national anyway?
Well, as I see it, What National should be focusing on is a political aspect of this, which is getting people ballot access. That's what political parties are supposed to do. We budget the last 2 years that I sat there, we budgeted zero for ballot access. That is insane for a national political party. People can't vote for you. People in this country cannot vote for liberty and freedom if a libertarian's not on the ballot.
Okay, now they got a ballot access. Then what?
Turn us loose. If we have ballot access, we can run candidates at just about every level in every state, and they can start, pushing some money into races where people can actually win.
Okay, now this is you're the person to have this conversation with. I'll tell you what my perspective is. I'm there, I'm running for national chair. Of course, I get Maine and Oklahoma, some of the states that have the most difficult problems, and they like Oklahoma, you can't even register as a libertarian. Yeah.
Right.
Tennessee, you can't register as a libertarian.
Well, only half the states have actual party registration anyway.
I tell you what the problem is. When you can register and be on the ballot as a Democrat or a Republican, but you can't be anything else, I got problems. Okay?
Right, exactly.
That's the kind of thing
National needs to work on.
Not only
funneling money into ballot access petition things. I mean, some of the things I'm proud of that we've done throughout my 6 years on the LNC is we've always looked for places where litigation is possible. And getting some of these things struck down, that's going on in Oklahoma right now. We did it in North Carolina, and that's why Mike Munger got us ballot access. We saved the party $150,000 right there.
This is state
and national.
Let me tell you what my perspective is on this from experience over decades. Okay, I don't think I know, Lee. I know, and it's what makes me so angry. In 1991, before I even heard the word libertarian, I'm challenging all the way up in the Ninth Circuit on all these election laws. I could see what they were doing. And at that time, there were some libertarians saying, no, we don't want to rock the boat because we just want to be the third guys. We want to have the exclusion of the fourth guy once we're the third guy. You know, and I'm going, oh, man, you guys are killing me. So then what happens, of course, there was a lot of good guys, too, that eventually we prevailed. But what happens is I'm going, all right, I get Oklahoma. They come to me, the state chair, and she's like, well, what are you going to do for Oklahoma? Every single election cycle, we got to get, president, we got to have ballot status for Oklahoma. You tell me, how much did it cost each time for us to do that in Oklahoma? Whether we were successful or not, how much money did they spend on Oklahoma to get ballot status in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma is one of those states where the National Party has always realized that it's virtually impossible for us to get on. So, I mean, it's not like we spent a whole bunch of money trying to get on the ballot there. We did what the balance of money we spent in Oklahoma has been in litigation like it is now. And we haven't had hardly any support from the Constitution or the Green Party because they're pretty much, defunct in that.
Now, I'm already building up to my opinion. I just want to ask a question. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars each time, right?
I wouldn't say that much. Not every time. Not in Oklahoma.
A lot.
Tens of thousands. Yeah.
And I'm constantly getting mailings from National going, oh, PSSSSSSS, send money to Oklahoma, PSS again, give me more money. And I'm going, okay. So we spend all this money and resources on Oklahoma. I don't have a problem with going to just the fact that the voters there do not get to vote for a libertarian, their choice on the ballot, then you don't really have an election. I'm like still voting. So I'm going, okay, so we're going to target Tennessee. We target Oklahoma. You want to get me all involved in Oklahoma? Let's do Oklahoma. Move the national headquarters to Oklahoma for all I care. Let's go Oklahoma, man. Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Let's go ahead and go whip some ass. But they have initiative. I'm going, fine. Why are we not championing some initiative that reduces the power and scope of government,
that
reduces taxes?
Right,
we go. You take those initiatives and you put them right lockstep in with ballot access. And even if you don't get ballot access, you get the initiative on the ballot. You have libertarian causes, libertarian reasons for libertarians to go to the ballot and vote for less government and more freedom. And we never do that. You don't change the culture. They don't change the culture. They get ballot status, and then what do? They have president and one or two or at maximum three other libertarians on the entire state ballot, and I'm going, gee, I feel so much better. And I'm going, no, you're not changing the culture. We need to change the culture. And they quit doing that because I don't know who got in charge or who did whatever. And if you're not going after the culture of this country, you're wasting your time and I can't help you.
Right.
Are we clear?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure everybody knows. Because when you're doing it, I'm telling National Geographic, Hinkle got it, and I've made it very clear. When you guys go screaming about Oklahoma again, you need more money. If you're not doing something to change the culture there, you're not running candidates in every local municipality, you're not having people going right straight and challenging the man, you know, doing the challenging the state, going against the beast, and every level to change the people there, the side effect will be an enormous change on all levels of government, everywhere there. I guarantee it. It won't take more than a couple election cycles, but they're not willing to do it. Why? I can't understand why. And I'm going to drill on you guys forever on that one issue, because here we have all kinds of big, giant issues. Oh, the country's going down. They need us. They want us. They're begging for us. And we're worried about, well, we got to get ballot status so you can vote for one candidate and nothing else. I'm like, seriously? Well, Lee's going to want to respond when we come back from this break after I just went on a rant. And he's just sitting around. We'll give 3 minutes to get it all geared up. And he's going to answer it and give me what fur. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hancock. We got in studio Barry Hess on the line. Lee Wright's Pal Gamble's going to give us a spaceship update. We're going to space and government's not freaking invited. Blah, 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 blah. You know, the government's lost in space, man. You know what the benefit is? You can't hear government scream in space, though. That's good. That's good. You know, we have, and Lee, I want to make, and then later we got Jeff Greenspan. We're going to be talking on about this national ID thing. It's all about national ID. National ID, you know, just because you're driving around, oh my goodness, you're driving around, Rob Brown, get on the ground. Okay, then now you got to have national ID when you're born. Then the next step is going to be prenatal ID. You're going to get logged in. You think I'm kidding? You want to know how Nazi Germany crap happened? This is it. We've been chronicling this, walking this through. And what do they do? Oh, it's just press, just bam, 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 bam. It's all about immigration. No, it's not. No, it's not. So I'm going, all right, Lee, man, you know, I gave you what fur, man. Go ahead, you know, give me what fur.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, Ernie. You're talking, you know, you're talking about revolution. And I'm not talking about the kind of revolution where you go out and you shoot a politician. I'm talking about the revolution like it happened 200 years ago. It's got to happen in people's heads first. It's got to happen in their minds. You got to change the culture. You're exactly right. Nationals shouldn't be pouring hundreds of thousands of dollars into Oklahoma. They should be working on the initiative they're working on now, trying to get that legislation through. We don't have enough money to do it for one thing. What money we do have, we've got to concentrate on states where it's fairly economical to get on the ballot, and you're not just getting it like in North Carolina. When our gubernatorial candidate got more than 2%, he didn't qualify us for president. He qualified us for everything. You know, I mean, the first time we did that back in 2000, the next year, we put somebody up in every seat in the General Assembly. There were no uncontested races that year, and then the fight got harder because they saw what we could do with ballot access. And it's like that in a lot of states. What we're doing in Illinois is the same way right now.
Well, you see, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not for, you know, just, you know, cutting off Oklahoma. I'm for the people.
Well, no, they won't be cut off.
I'm for the people. I'm for the, I keep screaming this and nobody hears me. It's for the individual activists. It's not the state affiliate. It's not for the candidate. It's not for the county. It's for that individual 18-year-old that wants to be able to vote for a libertarian. I'll bust my butt to make sure they have that opportunity. But I am not going to keep wasting wasting money every election cycle and getting nothing for it. What I want for it is a change. I want a cultural change. And the only way you can do that is by taking on issues. While at the same time that you're doing the ballot status, if you're going to be doing ballot status and voter registration and getting signatures, all that, fine. Then get signatures for an issue to put on the ballot at the same time. Have a well-known libertarian issue. Make it about, you know, liberalization of gun laws, of doing away with the drug war, of, you know, healthcare freedom or something.
The
I
war.
Mean, you, the war.
Oh, yeah, no, the war.
The war. I don't
we
know what
we
do
in front of that.
Well, I don't know what we can do at a state level other than, you know, pulling in the National Guard or something, the state guard.
Well, I'm talking about the National LP, though. It should be all over that.
Yeah, no. I'm with you on that one, brother. You know, this is, we don't need a third war party. And you have by all polling, you know, everybody's going on around polls like I need a poll. But, you know, this is,
we should be all over this going into space thing without government invited.
That's
all over right there, man.
I've been trying to drag the LP into that since 2004. It has been the most amazing. When Spaceship One first went up, first private astronaut went into space, Arizona libertarians were there with signs. They were screaming to get the national campaigns to go, and they go, no, we don't see how we can make money. And I go, to what? And they go, to buy media. I go, what? You don't think there's going to be enough media there?
Right.
No, they were worried about they couldn't raise money to pay their salaries. That's what they were worried about.
Well, see, that's the problem you got at the national level. When you've got a budget where 3/4 of it, practically, is housekeeping, then there's no surprise that there's nothing left. I mean, the LP needs the same thing the government needs. We need to cut costs so that we can spend the money that we do have on doing politics like we're supposed to.
My argument is the money would flood in. I seriously, I mean, it's going to go to what? It's going to go to, I mean, all the scumbags that want government to do more and give
make
me
more
carve
money
up my goodies.
$10, $25 from hardcore grassroots activists than you will, you know, a handful of big dollar donors.
When they start getting behind issues like this,
right.
I guarantee. Right. In fact, we've seen it before. You know, Krickenberger, before he passed away, I remember he was out of Georgia, I think, wasn't he? I think it was in Southeast somewhere. They offered up an opportunity for libertarians to have some impact on national politics. And they said, look, we're going to take out full page ads in USA Today, Wall Street Journal, wherever it was. And it flooded $60,000-$70,000. Boom, there, do it. And they went, wow, that was easy. Okay, well, we're going to open up a special program. We're going to have you give us money for newspaper ads and we'll put stuff in. They go, yeah, what? I don't know, something. No, when? Well, sometime. Where? Well, some paper. And they go, no, we don't trust you. We ain't giving you squat, you know. Well, they didn't see any advantage in continuing this program because they didn't get to spend the money on what they wanted. I'm just saying, you guys, it's killing me. So I'm going, I'm an effective activist for anything I support, and it could easily go to the Libertarian Party as soon as they're worth anything. So I'm going, there is, right now, this 2010 election cycle, we got, what, 4, 5, 6 months? And in this amount of time, we're going to what? What's the plan, Lee? You went to the LNC committee meeting after this was after the convention. What's their plan?
Well, I didn't hear anything about a particular plan per se.
A plan to have another meeting a couple of months from now? Is that their plan?
Well, they're doing things for that Prop 14 out in California, which I think is a good project.
Okay, well, tell me what that is, Prop 14. I keep hearing about it, but I don't know.
Well, it's top two. What the government's trying to do is they've got this initiative on the ballot. And if it passes, what it initially means is that all third parties in California are done. You have your primaries, and the top two people that get the votes, those parties qualify. Even if, like, the same top two were of the same party, two Democrats got the most votes, then only the Democrats would be able to be on the ballot. Nobody else, period. So,
well, you know, that I tell you, you know, way
that's a ballot access issue. It's not about getting on the ballot, but it's about them not taking it away from us.
Well,
California's
see,
huge, man.
Okay,
California's one of the easiest states to get ballot access as it is now.
All right, let me give you my perspective on this, and we'll see where we differ. Here in Arizona, they called it the direct primary. Now, they changed it. They went and, you know, now it's open up to everybody. Then the libertarians sue not to have independents, non-libertarians. You got 300, 400,000 independents able to vote in 20,000 membership of Libertarian Party. Gee, I wonder who runs the Libertarian Party then. So we have to sue to say, no, we control our own ballot. And the reason was because they keep messing up the laws. The law used to be that there was a direct primary that was done in Arizona. Everything was nonpartisan. And the top two vote getters, like what you're talking about, went to the general, regardless of what they were. You know, if they wanted to put a little name after them, that happened in their own internal structure, their own party, their own caucus, their own whatever. So if you have a situation in California where they're going to say, I mean, barring any other information I don't know about, but if they got to where, you know what? Whatever the race is, the top two vote getters will go to the general election. And there's no other criteria. There's no ballot status. Everybody qualifies the same. Everybody has to get the same signatures. Everybody has to participate in the same way. And it has nothing to do with party. You're going to have a very difficult time making a constitutional argument against that.
I know, but the parties aren't involved. That's the problem.
Well, let them be. So they can put up candidates, go get them on the ballot to run. So your real election is the first primary election.
They will, but, I mean, the time to fight it is when they're trying to do some bullshit like this.
Yeah, I'm supposed to say you can't say naughty words on the radio. Okay, that saves
me. I forgot
me.
I was on the radio. I thought it was just me and you having dinner.
Yeah, no naughty words. Okay, now the thing is that I am of the opinion that I, as long as I get equal, the cultural change, all the more reason. All the more reason to be able to change the culture where they begging.
You don't get cultural change. You reinforce the notion when they do stuff like this that the state can do stuff like this. Anybody in this country should be able to walk into any election and write down whoever they want to that's constitutionally qualified for that office and vote for them.
Well, what are primaries for?
Primaries. Walk in on election day and vote for who you want.
Well, it looks like the primary is the election. You're going to get the top two, whoever you're going to get to vote for.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
That's
what I'm saying. We've got to fight this stuff early.
Well,
if you
I
wait,
say
let them do it, then it's a lot harder to, I mean, you know, it's a lot harder
I
to get
want
it
both
undone
of them,
than it is to stop it in the first place.
I want both of them up there being libertarian. That's what I want. You know, and that's
me
how
too.
You do the cultural thing. See, the thing is I can see where this is going. They're doing all kinds of argument over we're going to go get them and they're going to take away it from libertarian and everything. And they're never looking at what the real issue is. It's equality. It's, you know, it's the same access to the ballot, the same ability to get on. Yeah, well, we don't want that. We want to have where we guaranteed to be on in the general. And I'm like, why? You know, is there some constitutional thing here? Somebody denied something. See, I don't know the bill, but I just want to make sure that we're talking about the right thing. We'll be right back in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Truth, justice, and what used to be the freaking American way. And American way was whip ass. That's what it was. Let's go. Just go take it by the horns and just everything, including what? Including this.
Heather, I'll be at a minute. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 3, 2, 1. Lift off of the Falcon 9.
Lift off of the Falcon 9. Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Some private going to the moon rockets. And this would, I'll bet this is big freaking news all over the planet, except in the United States. We got Pal Gamble on there. Real quick, man, you know, Pal, you know, he's senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix. He's been following this. He followed the Libertarian National Convention. He's running for Congress against Trent Franks for the third time. He's involved, man. He's got all kinds of opinion about everything with Lee and me, and we'll get Barry in here in a little bit. But you know what? I want to update us on, we go into space. Tell me what's up.
Always a pleasure to be on your show, Ernie. I was really excited today at 2:45 Eastern Time in Florida. The private space rocket Falcon 9 took off. And the reason why this is so exciting is the first commercial privately funded. There's no federal funding in this. But there are federal customers, baby. They're lining up saying, oh, God, please let it work, because they don't have any other way other than beg the Russians to get up to their space station now after the shuttle shut down after two more missions. So, at any rate, the Falcon 9 took off on its first maiden flight, and it actually went pretty much flawlessly. Its mission was to place a mock-up of the Dragon space capsule into orbit, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But the first stage, I want to impress upon your listeners, has 9 engines. It develops 1 million pounds of lift. This is no small little toy rocket we do. This thing is designed to lift cargo and put it into space. And actually, it's bigger versions that are on the drawing board that I might mention are meant to actually take us out in of Earth orbit and out there, out to the moon and to Mars and wherever. And at any rate, I want to. How big is this? This capsule can carry 3 times as many supplies, as much supplies to the space station as the Soyuz currently does, but only a little over half as much as the space shuttle currently does. That's how much we're talking about on lift. Because I saw online some of these blogging things. They were obviously government hacked, were poo-pooing, oh, it's just a little thing. I'm like going, what, are you kidding me? And then, anyway, the first stage, it lifted off, went very smoothly to a height of about 50 miles up in about 3 minutes and had a good separation. And the second stage continued on. And at some point, about 8 minutes after liftoff, they achieved their orbit. The second stage did do a funny full roll that turned out was unplanned. I was pretty certain that it was unplanned. But apparently the Dragon capsule actually achieved its final planned orbit within 1% of its target, which is really quite good. So it was a near-perfect launch. It was only marred by an earlier abort. It was 4 seconds left on liftoff, about an hour earlier. It stopped it, and it took them an hour to get it finally launched. They had an engine anomaly that supposedly showed up. I believe the mock-up Dragon capsule is supposed to stay in orbit for around 7 months before it burns up on reentry. It is a mock-up. It's not the actual official capsule, but I think it actually is sealed up, and they're going to be monitoring how well it holds its atmosphere.
Well, what is the price? I mean, that's one thing they're saying. Yeah, it's just over half a shuttle, but what's the difference
in
cost?
$7.5 million a launch is what they're projecting right now.
That's nothing.
Carry, 7 astronauts on and off the space shuttle in a personnel configuration. I'm sorry, not the space shuttle, the space station, but.
No, I mean, this, $7.5 million, is that what you said to launch this?
Yeah, $7.5 million.
Well, how much is it to launch a shuttle? It's like $100 million or something? I mean, it's some stupid number?
I don't think it's anywhere near that much. But,
well, how much is it?
I think it's more than twice that for certain.
No, I bet it's way more than that.
There was one disappointment. The first stage is designed to float back to Earth on parachutes and be recovered for reuse. That's actually an important design feature because they're planning on reusing it, so it basically cuts costs. It's like, hey, we're not going to just let this go away the way they do with government rockets. So apparently it broke apart on its way back down and left a debris trail, so they'll be studying that.
Oh, that sucks. You know, I'm looking at here, it says NASA Space Shuttle International Space Station. The average cost to launch a space shuttle is about $450 million per mission.
Wow. And so this thing, so two of these basically lift the same amount of provisions up there that
yeah, for about 5% the cost.
You know what's really cool about these first stages that deliver 1 million pounds of thrust? There's two other design models that put either a triple that first stage up, or add five first stages into the launch mode. So, yeah, with five, you'd have basically 5 million pounds of lifting thrust. So you're getting into Saturn V range on lifting capability with that.
Okay, whoa, time out. Are they? What are you saying? They're putting like two first stages next to each other or something?
Yeah, one is a triple first stage. Just stick them on together and launch it. And others put 5 together and launch it. So I can't wait to see those candles.
So it'd be like 5 times 9 engines? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 45 engines.
Oh, my goodness. You know, $450 million, man. I mean, you know, that you can do a lot for $450 million. You put, you know, 47 of them. Let's just go kick butt.
Wow. You can do a lot in the private sector. Apparently in government, you can only launch a space shuttle.
Oh, man. Hey, you know, before we, you know, you can obviously stick around if you want, but I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to comment on, you know, what Lee and I were talking about and, you know, your impression of watching from home on online the Libertarian National Convention. You know, what was your take on everything?
I wasn't surprised how it turned out. When the first round of the voting for the national chair took place, and Root came in with 38%. I was cheering because I knew he was toast at that point. I agree with Thomas Knapp that if he didn't come in the mid-40s on the first round, he was done. And that turned out to be true. He had absolutely no support. Every candidate who was folding after that, their support was going to somebody else other than Root. So, you know, it's disturbing that he ended up with 44% or whatever the hell it was. But, you know, heck, for one thing, he knew damn well he's going to stuff the convention floor with as many people as he could get. So that was good. I was a little disappointed you only ended up with 87, but I'm not surprised. The nice thing about both you and Root are you're both extremists. And you, I think it's a good thing to be extreme in your position. You've already gone over D.L. Neal Smith's ideas on that. And, you know, basically, how can you be too extreme for freedom and liberty? So. But the other thing was I wasn't surprised by who ultimately won. I mean, the LNC for, you know, God, what, 20 years basically has been putting these people into the chairmanship positions. I choked when I heard Hinkle described as an activist earlier today, like going, I wouldn't call him an activist myself. But is he better than Root? God, yes. But is he pretty much the same old that we've been getting from the LNC and And it's not the LNC's fault. It's the people that show up at the convention. But if I want to say it's false. But, you know, it's basically, I think we're looking at two more years of the same direction, and I'm not so sure that's going to matter. You know, it goes back to what you said when you first dropped in on the headquarters. It's where the heck of the, it's empty. You go, where the heck are the bumper stickers? I go, you know, absolutely. It's like, what is the headquarters there costing us $120,000 a year supposed to be?
Well, what do you think the LP should be doing now? You know, we got, you know, another activist, Gary Franchi's on. We'll get to him, and you know, after the top of the hour, because we're only about a minute or two from the break here. But
hitting the anti-war message, I'd be going hardcore on the drug war, not this medical marijuana. The heck with that. Go after all drugs. You know, people should be able to do whatever the hell they want with their bodies. Who the heck is the government to do that? Start hammering.
Well, how does the LNC do this? I mean, at a national level, they I don't know. There's no track record of it. There's no template for them to follow. They've never really done anything except with the platform, and they strip that.
Right. All they can do now is basically they put out occasional and very rare press releases from the chairman that the media ignores. They'd be better off, frankly, rolling into some of these states and building up their bad boy youth activists, you know, the guys that basically want to hang signs on freeways and show up and hold signs and wave them and get in people's faces at some of these campaign rallies, et cetera, where there are TV cameras. You do enough of that, you start getting attention, and you start drawing people that are like mine saying, yeah, I want to do that. The Tea Party's done that. And you could really say the Tea Party started out as the Ron Paul libertarian movement that basically has been co-opted to a certain major degree by the GOP.
Yeah, no, that's a good observation. You know,
they pretty much let it.
I'm sorry?
They pretty much let it happen, the takeover.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, help. I mean, influence, make them an effective tool, because we're going to be doing what we're doing. There's no getting around it. And there's an opportunity for the LP to take credit. They can do it. They can, you know, get and take advantage of them. Go, waiting on you now. But I'm not going to be waiting on them. I mean, you know, we did rocking and rolling and whatnot. Too much is at stake. And part of that, when we come back, we got Gary Franchi on. He, Restore the Republic, Aaron Russo's group, he has inherited and kicking butt with it, and he has an opinion, you know, after a little bit of research on this SB 1070 thing. Ooh, it's getting bad. getting bad. We'll be right back here at the top of the hour news break here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and you don't need a government form.